In Los Angeles, I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Everybody loves a parade, right? When things are down, there's nothing like a demonstration of your military might and your victorious war history to cheer people right up. At least, that's what China's leaders are hoping. They're holding a huge military parade on Thursday, partly to celebrate China's resistance against the Japanese during World War II, partly to distract its citizens from a pretty tough month, a massive chemical explosion that wiped out part of a city, the country's first currency devaluation in 20 years, and a stock market crash that's had the world's economy in chaos. So can a really big propaganda parade turn those frowns upside down? Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz reports.
The last time China held a military parade was 6 years ago. That was for the People's Republic of China's 60th birthday. The official government reason for Thursday's parade? Commemoration of 70th anniversary of victory of Chinese People's Resistance against Japanese aggression and world anti-fascist war. How about this? 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. According to Dali Yang, director of the University of Chicago's Center in Beijing, China's leaders are putting on this parade to send two important messages. He says the first one is for the rest of the world.
The Chinese leadership is trying to send a signal to the West in particular that China was then allied with the West. At the time, communist countries and capitalist countries were allied against fascists.
But here's the problem. The leaders of China's old wartime allies like the U.S. and the U.K. aren't attending the celebration against fascism. So who RSVP'd? The list includes Russian strongman Vladimir Putin, Venezuela's dictator Nicolas Maduro, and Sudan's Omar Hassan al-Bashir. That last one, by the way, is wanted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity and genocide. They'll all sit together while Chinese troops goose-step by, a type of marching George Orwell called one of the most horrible sights in the world. Which leads us to what Professor Yang says is the second more important message China wants to convey with this parade.
Having such a parade would allow President Xi, who has been fighting against corruption, trying to consolidate his power within the military, to show to the country that he is the person in command of the military and China stands strong and tall in the world.
At no other time in Xi Jinping's presidency has it been so crucial to convince his countrymen he's in control. The 62-year-old leader has sent shockwaves through China's Communist Party after his anti-corruption campaign led to disciplinary actions against 414,000 government officials. China's economic transition has also been a little bumpy. But whenever the going gets tough in China, a familiar enemy is rolled out. Historian Jeremiah Jenny says the parade is about more than just an anniversary.
One thing the country can get behind is a general and well-entrenched loathing of Japan.
The Japanese killed an estimated 20 million Chinese in World War II. Only the Soviet Union lost more people in the conflict. China's key role in fighting off the Japanese is largely forgotten in the West. But it's not in China. Since the 1980s, state broadcasters have aired 302 television series chronicling China's wartime resistance to the Japanese. These anti-Japanese war dramas, including a cartoon for children, are played on Chinese television constantly. The residue of all this programming rushes to the surface when I ask residents in an alley neighborhood behind Beijing's Tiananmen Square whether they're going to watch Thursday's parade.
You bet I'm going to go and watch. Down with Japanese imperialism. Down with Japan.
Shop owner Zeng Xiangren's three-year-old companion yells down with Japan, too. Across town on the campus of People's University, the opinion about Japan is more nuanced. 19-year-old incoming freshman Hu Jingyi.
I feel like as individuals, the Japanese are good. Their education level is high. But as a nation, their ideas are extreme. I just feel like they're very frightening. Their national cohesion is very scary.
National cohesion can be very scary. But for a fast-rising global power dealing with the demons of its past while trying to manage an historic economic transformation in the present, national cohesion can also be seen as crucial. In Beijing, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.